bah humbug. How many of you have ever said that? Maybe something like that. Maybe nobody, because it's an 18th century word that nobody ever says anymore. But maybe you've said something like that, you know, like, I can't believe it. All this commercialism, all this stuff, all these people to coordinate. And when you get to a point, you're like, no, bah, humbug. And maybe you, like Scrooge, have been that in Christmases past. My name's Keith Harcombe. I haven't met you yet. I'd love to meet you in the lobby after service. But we've been going the last 4 weeks about the redemption of Scrooge. And we've been looking at in his life, at what happened in his life, and how he met these four ghosts. We've been looking at how this relates to Advent and how it relates to the redemption of a particular person, Ebenezer Scrooge. Of course, it's based on Charles Dickens's classic Christmas carol, yeah, that we've done lots of different versions of. We've done lots of different versions of because we just love this tale about somebody who was irredeemable that becomes redeemed. How many of you have you seen, yeah, Mickey's Christmas Carol? Two down the front. Some of you aren't raising your hands. How many of you have seen the 2009 version with Jim Carrey in it? Christmas Carol? Yeah, have you seen that one? How many of you have seen Muppet Christmas Carol? Yeah, we love that one because it's nice and fun kind of thing and not too much pain kind of thing. How many of you have seen George C. Stott's version? Yeah, that's interesting, more than I would think, yeah. This week someone said to me, you made my kids watch the George C. Stott version. Don't do that. But we've been looking at these three ghosts that Jacob Marley said to Scrooge that he would have a visit from. The ghost of Christmas past, the ghost of Christmas present, and the ghost of Christmas future. And if you've never heard the tale before, you don't know the Christmas carol. It's about this miserable old man, a miser, a tightwad, who runs a business. He runs this business so tight and so greedy and so not wanting to waste it that he hurts everybody in the midst of it. He hurts the people who he walks into down the street. He hurts the people who actually want a romantic relationship with him. And nobody wants to be around this guy. Jacob Marley's ghost comes to visit him in the middle of the night and says to him, Scrooge, you're a miserable old miser. Guess what? You're going to have three ghosts visit you tonight. The ghost of Christmas past, the ghost of Christmas present, and the ghost of Christmas future. Sure enough, when Jacob Marley leaves, the ghost of Christmas past comes and takes him through the old English village, through the town, in and out of trees, across rivers, under bridges, underneath washing lines, and he can feel the wind rushing on his face until he arrives at a place that he has a good memory of, a Christmas past that he loved, a past that he remembers so well. He worked for this guy, the Fezziwig, and he loved working with Fezziwig because he was such a joy to be around. In fact, the ghost of Christmas past says to him, why do you like this guy? He gave you no money. Scrooge, you like money. Why do you like him? He said he was such a joy to be around. And he sees himself sitting in the corner. He sees himself sitting shy in the corner as a young man. And Belle, his girlfriend, soon to be wife, betrothed, comes up to him and tries to dance with him, get him to dance, and kisses him under the mistletoe. And he's whisked away. The ghost of Christmas past whisks him away to his counting house, to a place where we see him counting his money, miserably counting his coins. And Belle, his betrothed, his girlfriend, his soon-to-be wife kind of thing, says to him, you know, I've got this cottage, honey, and I want us to go there and you know, spend some time there. And the only thing he can say to her is that you are missing out on your mortgage payments. Needless to say, he was broken-hearted. Not only was she broken-hearted, he was broken-hearted. And Scrooge had regret. In the tale, in the story, Scrooge has regret for what he does. He hears a ghost laughing next door in the dream, in the show. And he goes into this room and there's a ghost sitting on top of a Christmas tree, a big tall Christmas tree. And he takes him over the town, almost lifting the house off to the ground, and takes him to the house of no other than Bob Cratchit, the guy who works for him, the guy he pays nothing for, the guy who he treats meanly, who doesn't give him the right treatment, doesn't provide for him and his family. His family are making fun of him. His wife's making fun of Scrooge and how tight he is and how, like, at least he finally got, like, an afternoon off for Christmas Day. The father is kind and thankful that he's at least got a job. And then we're directed to Tiny Tim. He has a disease that's degenerative. He's going to die soon. And he even asks him, what about Tiny Tim? Is he gonna last Ghost of Christmas Present? And he says, no, he's not. And Scrooge has remorse. He's starting to realize that he's doing something, that he's been a part of the demise of somebody's life. If that isn't enough, he then meets the ghost that he doesn't want to meet, the ghost of Christmas future. And this ghost doesn't say anything. He doesn't talk to him. He doesn't make any accusations towards him. He just points to a graveyard where people are going to die. And as he's in this graveyard, he asks the ghost, is there anything I can do? What happened? Like, is anybody responsible for Tiny Tim? Is anybody responsible for this awful situation that I'm in? And he points to his gravestone. And he brushes off the gravestone. And what does he see? The words say, Ebenezer Scrooge. And he wonders, am I beyond redemption? Am I unable to correct this path? Is there a better future for me? Is there something I can do? And in the tale and in the movies and all the different depictions, he's falling down to his grave. He's going down under the ground. And as he's falling down, you can imagine him. You can imagine him seeing Belle's face, seeing the girl that wanted to marry him and thinking, oh, if I had only just kissed that face and loved her. Oh, he has regret. And as he's fallen, he looks at Bob Cratchit. If I'd only treated Bob Cratchit better, if I'd have paid him better, if I'd have given him at least some time off to spend with his young family, especially, oh, for Tiny Tim, I can't believe that I can possibly have an impact on him by raising the Cratchit family salary. I could possibly do something. And as he's fallen, as he thinks to his death, into his grave, he hits the floor, bang, and he realizes, oh, I've been given a new day. I can see the light now. I can see something amazing in front of me. I've been given a new opportunity. I can do something about the future, amen? We can do something. And he sees a light. That's what the story is all about. It's about seeing that actually this guy, this miserable old crotchety old man who hates Christmas, can actually be redeemed. He's seen the light. He's seen the light that you have come to celebrate tonight. It's the light that we want to hear about, that we want to commemorate, that we want to perpetuate, that we want to celebrate every year. We want to celebrate the child coming to us in a humble manger in Jerusalem. Amen? He doesn't come to Jerusalem, though, does he? He comes to Bethlehem. It's the story of the two young couple. A girl, a poor young girl who is betrothed and also pregnant at the same time. This woman was a lowly servant, a teenage girl, poor. And she has a visit from an angel, from the angel Gabriel. If you get a visit from the angel Gabriel, something cool is going to happen. What? I'm with child. I'm with child, me? And she says a great song. Wow, how I could have a child. And everyone's talking about her. And everyone's making fun of the fact that she's pregnant. And Joseph, they're not really married yet. And in Jewish times, there would be three kind of steps. Mom and dad would figure out a significant other for you. In Jewish way of being betrothed, they'd figure out whether this person was good for you. Joseph, we think Joseph is good. And then you'd have a pro betrother. You'd have a pro person who would say, okay, Joseph and Mary, you are now going to be married. And that'll last 1 year. And that's the period that they were in. And of course, the final period, the third period, is actually getting married, which lasts for 2 days. It was a humble celebration in the home. And they were in the betrothal period. Of course, the census came. And Joseph goes back to his hometown. Can you imagine if you came to your hometown, you came back home to your hometown, you went back to Bethlehem, and guess what? Nobody's got any room for you. What the heck? Are all the flights canceled? What's going on? They find a room, a stable, underneath the room where the child could be born. And Gabriel, the same angel that had spoken to Mary, spoke, of course, to Joseph. And said, by the way, the right thing to do is for you to marry Mary. That's actually the godly thing to do here. Not what everyone else is telling you. And when the baby comes into the manger, when they place the child in the pig trough, when they place the child, not in Jerusalem with fancy lights and fancy things going on, not with all the Jewish people and religious people celebrating, but in this humble little stable in Bethlehem, the royal city. They place the child in the manger. And they call the child what the angel Gabriel said to Mary, what the angel Gabriel said to Joseph. They call the child Yeshua, the one that was to come that you've talked about all the way through the Old Testament. The one that you've been waiting for is here. How do we get to know this? How do we come aware of this Messiah in the manger? There were no social media posts back then. Nobody had a cell phone that they could just video as Mary's having the baby, you know? That's what we do every all the time now, right? Nobody did that back then. There wasn't a broadcast system even. There wasn't like an almighty broadcast that says, guess what? Jesus is born. No. How do we find out? The same angel, what's his name? Came to the shepherds in the field, and they were watching this. The shepherds are really poor and stinky, the Bedouin shepherds. And yet they were watching and they were listening, and they heard from the angel Gabriel. And as they announced it, they were so in fear, and they said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, because the one you have been waiting for has been born this very night in Bethlehem. I don't know what happened next, but I guess one angel wasn't enough. That would have been enough for me, right? A whole host came, a whole army, and said, glory to God in the heavens. The Christ child is going to be here tonight. And they went to Bethlehem to see the child, whom they knew what this child would look like, because they read the scriptures. They'd heard the scriptures. They'd heard the scriptures read to them. They knew it in their heads. They regurgitated it into the hard drives in here. And they went to Bethlehem to see the child. And the child was just as the angel had said, in the manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. And the child was ready, and they just couldn't believe it. This child was right before their very eyes. And how do they tell everybody about it? How do we know this story today in 2022? How do we come to this knowledge? The shepherds. They told everybody. They told everybody in Bethlehem and spread it all the way around the Judean countryside. And everybody said, guess what? the one we have been waiting for, Yeshua, Messiah, the one that has been prophesied, the one that's been wrote about, the one we've wrote poems about, the ones we've wrote psalms about, is here this very night in Bethlehem. Bethlehem, that's not Jerusalem. No, in Bethlehem. And everybody was astonished that the shepherds knew this tale. This Christ child did not just come for me. Didn't come for the choir. Didn't just come for the organ player. Didn't come for you. Didn't come just for people from England. Didn't just come for people from the Ukraine. Didn't just come from people from Tarpon Springs or even Palm Harbor. He came for everybody. Gentiles, Israelites. And he's here for everybody. And sometimes people have a hard time with that. Sometimes people think, he just came for me. I know this other person who can't be redeemed, but as for me, I'm pretty fine. Scrooge finally seen the light. Scrooge finally knew the story, I believe. Finally knew what was right about Christmas, and he wanted to keep Christmas well. All of you here tonight are gathered because you want to keep Christmas well. Amen? The Mass of Christ, the celebration of Christ, is what we do at this time every year. And we know that the Christ child came for me and came for us. There's no qualification. There's nothing that you need to do in order to accept the Christ child. There's no great password you've got to put in to get there, you know. You just ask, Lord, show me the Christ child. Show me who Jesus is. And this light, when this light comes in to our hearts, when we decide that actually, yeah, I want to follow Jesus, when it rests in our heads and comes all the way down to our hearts, we realize, oh, this is what it's about. This is why I have hope. This is why I have peace in my heart. This is why I have joy. And we want to celebrate that joy, and we want to share that love so that we can share with others what this light is about. Amen? And you tonight have come to celebrate that light. This light came so that we could shine brightly in the darkness. This light came and the darkness cannot overcome it. Jesus is the light of the world, and he's here for you. And every year, we celebrate this light. And we're going to celebrate with the candles that you came in with, which I need one, by the way. And, Pastor Kathy's going to help us too. You've got your candle that you came in with. You only got one. And we light the candle from the Christ candle, and Pastor Kathy is going to help me here. And I want to give you a quick demonstration of how to do that. The candle lit stays straight. The candle you wish to light goes at 90 degrees to the candle until it is lit. And then we won't set this place on fire. Maybe in January. Please light your candles. The darkness, the light has come into the world, and the darkness has not overcome it. Pass the light along your pews.